So now let's talk about web analytics. What is web analytics? Web analytics is a measurement, collection, analysis, and reporting of web data generated by users visiting and interacting with a website to understand and optimize the web usage. So basically, what is the purpose? Measure user behavior, optimize the user's experience and flow, gain insight what might help the business objective, like increasing conversions and sales. So basically, web analytics would tell me simple things like what is the website traffic been, where exactly the user is as a part of the sales funnel, where did he stop, was there a problem with him ordering a product, was there a problem with the payment gateway, is the user able to find products easily on the website, can I do anything to increase the sales or get him to the buy the product? Is there any way I can get him to quickly search the product if he or she is having a problem finding the product? So what can I use web analytics for? Web analytics can be used as a tool for business and market research and assess and improve website effectiveness, measure the results of traditional print or broadcast advertising campaigns, estimate how traffic a website changes while launching a new advertising campaign, provide information about the number of customers to a website and number of page views, or to create user behavior profiles. This, I think, we've discussed most of this. The only thing we have not discussed, broadcast advertising campaigns, understand how traffic to the website is changing. Is a particular campaign working in a better way to drive website traffic? And if it's not working, number of users, number of which pages have been viewed most, can I basically, based on the clicks that the customer is making, decide what is the kind of behavior, and I can maybe analyze or segment the customer based on that behavior. It helps gauge traffic and popularity needs, which is useful for market research. Advantages: highlight top performing products, pages, campaigns, or cull poor performing ones. You will often see certain products are taken off, certain products are added back in. Why? Because it basically depends on how the performance of that product is, or how that performance of the web page is. Assess web content problems so that they can be rectified. Like I said, maybe the payment link is not working, or in general, certain page is not working. What is the problem? Is certain content not visible to the user? And all of that. Have a clear perspective of website trends and monitor web traffic and user flow. So what are the trends of the website? I can easily monitor them looking at the website. Again, web traffic and user flow. Demonstrate goals acquisition, figure out potential keywords, figuring out referring sources, identifying pain points in sales funnel, that is choking conversion, identify how bounce rate, those where visitor look at only one page and that leave. So we have spoken about bounce rate also. Most of these others are similar to the previous ones that we've spoken, where we are saying we demonstrate goals acquisition. That means what are the kind of acquisitions I'm having, setting up the goals for that, finding the potential keywords, find out where is the maximum traffic on the website being driven from, what are the pain points, why is the conversion not happening, where is the user getting stuck, is he not able to find the right product, or is he not able to customize the product. What is the bounce rate? Why is it that after coming to the welcome page, the user is not browsing further? Is there something to do with the welcome page, something that I can change? After the bounce rate, we come to search engine results and keywords used by the visitors, including those that provide zero matches and those returning generic PR pages or specific search query. This is what I mentioned previously. Is my search engine working correctly? Are people finding the right products at the right time, or is it causing a problem in the sales funnel? Segmenting the different visitor behavior of prospects, staff, and customers to be able to target the right form. Segmenting of customer profile is what we are talking about. So essential steps of web analytics process is, first, goal setting. Like everything else, very important that we have to understand what exactly the goal is for my web analytics. Am I trying to monitor website traffic? Am I trying to monitor hiccups in the web pages, monitoring the sales funnel? What exactly is that I'm looking at? Then accordingly, I will collect the data. So acquire the data, then processing and counting. So we basically what we'll do over here is process, pre-process the data and get the results. After that, we'll do the KPI selection, that what are the metrics or the KPIs that will align with my goals. And then I will build the online strategy and then launch it and experiment and test. That means, is it working? Is it not working? How is the entire process going? So what are the categories of web analytics? Offsite web analytics and on-site web analytics. So what is offsite and on-site? Offsite web analytics refers to web monitoring, measurement, and analysis of visitors actually outside of your organization website. It includes measurement of the website potential audience, which is the opportunity, share of voice, which is visibility, and buzz, which is comments that is happening on the internet as a whole. So anything that is not, or any part of the information which is not related to your website, is mainly going to come under off-site web analytics. So what does it also provide is gives insight into how a business is performing in comparison to the competitors, and it refers to a type of analytics that focus on data collected from across the web, such as social media, search engine, and forums. Any and everywhere on the internet which is not part of your website becomes, like I said, a part of off-site web analytics. Then we come to on-site web analytics. The more common of the two, which I measure, is the customer's behavior once on a specific website to see how the website is performing, drivers, conversions, degree of which different landing pages are associated with online purchases. So everything that is related to the website, like I said, it could be search engine, it could be what pages is the what are the clicks that are happening on the website, what purchases are happening, where is the customer getting stopped in the stuck in the funnel, why is he getting stuck, what can we do to make the conversion. Everything that is related to that is on the website is related to on-site analytics. Measures the performance of a specific in a commercial context. It is typically compared against key KPIs for performance and is used to improve a website for marketing campaigns and audience response. Google Analytics and Adobe Analytics are the most widely used on-site web analytics service, although new tools are emerging to provide additional layers of information, including heat maps and session replays. So most Google Analytics is something that came out very one of the first thing when it came to website analytics. Adobe Analytics is now new and there are more competitors that are coming in the market. Why? Because additional layers of heat information, more visualization, more graphical view of visual of the entire data. On-site web analytics techniques, log file and page tagging. So let us look at what are these. Two technical approaches to on-site web analytics include log file analysis and page tagging. Log file, as we were discussing, and everything is stored in the form of a log. So is known as log management, is a process of analyzing data gathered from the logs to monitor, troubleshoot, and report the performance of a website. Log file hold records of virtually every action taken on the network searches, such as web server, email server, database server, or file server. So please understand, any web, any app, application always has a log that is generated. And if we analyze this log, I can now be able to find out what is the problem, where, what are the most views, which page is working, which product is working, and all of that information. Page tagging is a process of adding snippets of code, JavaScript, embedded into a website's hypertext markup language code, which is the HTML code, using a tag manager to track website visitors and their interaction across a website. These snippets are called tags. When business add these tags to a website, they can be used to track any number of metrics, such as the number of pages viewed, the number of unique visitors, and the number of specific codes viewed. So if you see, normally when you go to any analytics platform to embed that software, like a Google Analytics or a Adobe Analytics, what you'll have to do is they'll give you a snippet of JavaScript code, which you will need to incorporate into your website page. That is the HTML code of the website, and only then can it track those matrices that are needed. So obviously, if I'm using a customized software, they would have their own customized matrix that are there, and hence the code will change for each and every provider. Offsite web analytic techniques using panel data or using ISP data. ISP is basically internet service provider data. So using the panel data method involves recruiting participants using a combination of their website and the calling of prospective panelists. The technique is to have monitoring software installed on the user's computer to measure their web activity. So basically, I basically capture the web activity by developing a panel. Obviously, when I develop a panel, there is a cost involved with it, and the users are given something in exchange for allowing people to track their web activity. Otherwise, no one would do it. Panel sizes vary, but range from a few thousand to hundreds of thousands of participants. Most panel participants are home users, and these are not restricted by IT policies. When it comes to installing tracking software, panel data is extrapolated to provide an estimate of the behavior for total web population. People who register for the panel will obviously do it on their home computers because you have unrestricted access. Secondly, most of them are either retired or work from home people, freelancers who allow the software to be installed. Otherwise, most of the organization today have a lot of policies, and especially when it comes to installing the software, you require admin rights to get that done. So, and once that behavior is captured, we then modify it so that the users can, the entire user population can be accommodated, or we just take a sample which accounts for the actual user population on the web. An important advantage of panel data is panelists are known. Valuable demographics such as age, gender, ethnicity, income bracket are available because they agree to give that information. However, websites to be measured have a minimum threshold of visitors to show up above the noise threshold and mitigate sampling errors. The threshold will vary depending on where most of the visitors connect from, as the sample size of panelists varies from country to country. So not in every country the panelist profile or panel data is not very popular. So obviously it will vary, and there's a minimum threshold that you want to basically monitor on. As an alternative to user panels, companies collect offsite visitor information by aggregate anonymous data provided by ISP. Understand, the data is anonymous, so you would not get any personal details over there. This can be has the potential to offer much larger sample sizes than panels, and therefore a lesser degree of extrapolation required, potentially resulting in a higher accuracy, especially if you're going to base your results and your modeling based on this. Because this type of offsite tracking happens at ISP or network level, all visitor IPs are represented: home, work, mobile, education, and public access. The trade-off is that the data is anonymous, therefore demographic and user data is not available. Common web analytics data sources. What are the data sources? We've discussed most of them: server logs, visitor data, search engine statistics, conversion funnels, and external data. So what are the advantages of log file analysis? We've discussed log file analysis as a part of the on-site analysis a couple of sites previously. The web server normally produces log files, so the raw data is already available. No changes to the website are required. The logs of the website are always being stored. The data is on the company server and is in a standard rather than a proprietary format, because all the websites follow the same kind of log file that is there. This makes it easier for company to switch programs later, use several different programs, and analyze historical data with a new program. So because the format is the same, the tools are also developed using that standard format. So changing tools is not a problem. Log file contain information on visits from search engine spiders, which generally are excluded from analytics tools using JavaScript tagging. This is useful information for search engine Optimization. Log files require no additional DNS lookups or TCP slow starts. There are no external service calls that slow the page load speed or result in uncounted web views. Web server reliably records every transaction it makes and does not rely on the visitor's browsers operating. So log files basically do not require any additional. It is generated at the back containing everything that you're doing. Then advantages of paid tagging analysis, again a part of on-site analysis. Counting is activated by opening the page. Cache pages are not counted by server-based log analysis. Cache pages account for up to 1/3 of all page views, which can negatively impact many site metrics. Why? Because obviously I only count when I open the page for the first time. After that, it gets cached unless I've cleared the cache, and which most of the people do not do unless needed, they will have a negative view. Data is gathered via a tag in the page, which is used in conjunction with a server-side scripting language like PHP to manipulate and usually store it in a database. The script may have access to additional information on the web client or on the user not set in the query, such as the pricing of the goods visitors purchased. Page tagging can report on events that do not involve a request to the web server, such as interaction using flash movies, partial form completion, and mouse events. The page tagging service manages the process of assigning cookies to visitors. With log file analysis, the server has to be configured to do this. Page tagging is available to companies who do not have access to their web server. Lately, page tagging has become a standard in web analytics. Economic factors is almost always performed in-house. Page tagging can be performed in-house, but it is more often provided as a third-party service. The economic difference between these two models can also be as a consideration deciding which to purchase. Log file analysis typically involves a one-off software per se. In addition to commercial offerings, several open source log file analysis are available free of charge. For log file analysis, data must be stored and archived, which often grows large quickly. Although the cost of the hardware to do this is minimal, the overhead for an IT can be considerable because today everything is on the internet. For log file analysis, software need to be maintained, including updates, security patches, like any other software. Complex page tagging vendors charge a monthly fee for on volume, that is number of page views per month collected. Which collection is cheaper to implement depends on the amount of technical purchase within the company, the vendor chosen, the amount of activity seen on the web page, the depth and the type of information sought, and the number of distinct websites needing statistics. Regardless of the vendor solution or the data collection method employed, the cost of turning raw data into actionable information must be included. This can be used from the use of third-party consultants, the hiring of an experienced web analyst, or the training of a suitable in-house person. A cost benefit can be performed. For example, what revenue cost or cost saving can be gained by analyzing the web visitor data. So at the end of the day, it is basically to ensure that am I getting a return on investment if I invest into web analytics. What confusion can happen in web analytics? The first one is called the hotel problem. What is the hotel problem? Problem is that then unique visitors for each day in a month that do not add up to the same total as the unique visitors for that month. This appears to be a problem when the analytics software they are using. In fact, it is a simple property of the metric definition. Visualize the situation by imagining a room occupancy of a hotel with two rooms, room one and room two. So you basically want to, the hotel problem, what it talks about is that your unique visitors in each day in a month do not add up to the same total as the unique for that month. Why? Because sometimes it might drop the analytics, it might not have. So you just want to clearly differentiate as to how the difference is coming, how big is the difference. If it's too big a difference, you might want to go and figure out the problem. As the table shows, the hotel has two unique visitor users each day over 3 days. The sum of the total with respect to these 3 days is therefore six. So if you see, in room one, I have tiger who's staying for 2 days, and day three, I have elephant. So tiger and elephant, that makes it two unique users. Room two has elephant and bull, again, two unique users. Now, per day, if you see, two unique, two unique, two unique, which is, but here, if you see, instead of six unique, I have three unique. Why? Because a person has, tiger has stayed in 2 days, while even your bull has stayed 2 days, so it does not become unique. During the period, each room has had two unique users. The sum of the totals with respect to the rooms is therefore four. Actually, only three visitors have used in the hotel over this period. The problem is that a person who stays in the room for 2 nights will get counted twice if they are counted once on each day, but are only counted once in the total for the period is looked at. Any software will sum these correctly for the chosen time period, thus leading to the problem where a user tries to compare the total. So there are some softwares that take care of this problem. That's why I said you might want to change the software in case the difference is too large. Analytics poisoning, the second confusion that can arise, which is as the internet has matured, the profilation for automated bot traffic has become an increasing problem for the reliability of web analytics. As bots traverse the web, they render web documents in ways similar to organic users. As a result, may incidentally trigger the same code the web analytics used to account for the traffic jointly. This incident triggering of web analytics events impact the interpretability of the data and inferences made upon the data. It's basically right now there are a lot of bots and spiders that are going around the web, and if the bot triggers the same code as an organic user who's trying to access the website, then he's counted as a user and he will be included in that data. Now, we do not know how much of the data is based on a bot. And if there are too many bots that have accidentally triggered the data or the code, and you're basically doing your analysis and making inferences based on that or building a call to action, it is going to go for a toss. Then we look at something called as web analytics segmentation. Segmentation is a process that segregates the data to find the actionable items. For example, entire website traffic can be categorized as one segment for a country and one for a specific city. For the users, business can make the segments as one who purchased the products and one who only visited the website and likewise. During the remarketing, the business can target those audience with the help of this segment. So basically, segmentation, like the process, we say we basically now categorize everything. So I can categorize it for a country, I can categorize it for a city, or I can based on per certain users, certain products, and all of that. Direct traffic, the website that visits a parent website directly. Social web traffic, social segment helps you analyze social traffic, that is the volume of traffic from a social media platform, Facebook, Instagram. That is sending traffic to the website helps businesses make future social media strategies. So I understand that between all of these traffics, I need to be able to categorize them to understand which exactly is the best form that is driving most traffic to my website. Paid traffic. Paid traffic segment captures traffic through paid channels, Google AdWords, Twitter ads, and all of that. Finally, your web analytics dashboards. Interface showing graphical status of the trends, key performance bar indicators, so KPIs. It builds a visual display of important data, then can be encapsulated in a single space to make a marketer monitor at a glance. Help businesses take an instantaneous and intelligent decision. So mostly dashboards are said to be one A4 size paper and connected elements or KPIs together in that dashboard so that you can basically graphically view and make quick decisions. Types of dashboard: SEO, content, Website performance, real-time overview, e-commerce, social media, and pay-per-click. So you will normally see that this is how the graph went, or how was your performance over the week and all of that. So metrics is SEO optimization, organic traffic, website total traffic used in organic or top landing pages, content we'll talk about, blog section, conversion by blog post, and top landing page by exit. Website performance, average page load time, mobile page load time by browser, website server load time. So even website performance will tell me, is it loading slow on a particular browser? Why is it, and what can we do to optimize that? Real time overview dashboard, which is in real time overview, set a widget for real time traffic. Real-time traffic source, real-time traffic landing pages. E-commerce is basically total land traffic, landing by products, total sale by product. So these are the graphs and visualizations that you can use for each of the dashboard. Do I only have to use this? No, I can change it based on what I want to see. Social media, traffic by social channels, sale by social media, and mostly socially shared content. PPC dashboard, which is pay-per-click, clicks, impression, CTR, which is conversion rate, and converted clicks. Now, web analytics conversion is when a user visits your page and performs an action. For example, purchase, sign up, download, etc. Goals are used for tracking completion of specifics, that is with the help of goal, measure the rate of success measured. Goals are measured differently in different industries. So it could be conversion rate, it could be specific actions, whatever. Types of goal: destination, duration goal, event goals, and pace session goals. What is a destination goal? The destination goal is used to find page views of a website. Put a destination in the URL, in the destination to complete the goal. That is how you set a destination goal. It's supposed to go to a particular destination. Measure the user engagement with the help of a duration. Specify hours, minutes, and second field to quantify the goals. If a user spends time on a page, then the goal is completed. Event goals, measure interaction with the event on the site. There must be at least one event to compose this goal. Obviously, we are talking about event goals. So there has to be some event happening on the website. Pages or session goal, you can measure the user engagement with the page or session goal. Firstly, to specify how many page or session counts as goal complete, and whether you can analyze how many goals are completed. So how many people came to view the page, or how long was the session, would all come in the page and session goals. And now we talk about the funnel. What are funnels? Steps to complete the goals. With help of funnel, business can review the goals completion steps. So we have discussed about this, which is the product sale funnel. Goal completion. So is goal completion is the sale has been completed. The funnels would be the step to purchase the product. If most of the website leaves after carting the product, then the website must check for any problem that may exist with the cart section, or to improve the product, or steps to sell the product. It could have to be with the cost of the product. It could have to depends. Are they going to next and stopping at the shipping cost? Or they're just adding products to the cart and just leaving. Multi-channel funnel, which is show marketing channels working together. So like I discussed, it is basically number of conversions that you have. So from each channel. So assisted conversions is find which channel has assisted the highest number of conversion. Top conversion path. Top conversion path report shows all the unique conversion path, that is sequence of channel that led to the conversion, as well as the number of conversions from each path, the value of these conversions. This also shows channels interact along the conversion paths. Each path populates the channels through which a user arrived prior to the conversion the user completed. So all the information from where the user started and where did he land, what pages did he view, what sections did he go to, would be part of the conversion path. So each user has a following path: C1, C2, C3, conversion 1, C4, and C5, conversion 2. report should show the full path prior to each conversion. So did the conversion happen at C3 or did it happen at C5, both of them? Then we have something called as a time lag report. Time lag reports counts the number of days from the first impression to conversion. Some analytics compare this report with e-commerce to time to purchase report. E-commerce greater than time to purchase report, which counts the number of days from the first campaign referral to conversion. However, given the different starting points of the two timelines, the reports do not match. That means I could have referred somebody, but they joined much later or they converted even much later, that the referral is no longer valid. Conversion path length. The time lag report shows how many conversions related from the conversion paths that were 8 plus days long. This gives the insight into the length of the online sales cycle. The path length report shows how many conversions related from conversions that are obtained 1, 2, 3, 4 channel reactions. And that brings us to the end of the session. Thank you.